So tonight I want to share with you guys something that I actually heard Luke shared on this topic. So it just stirred me when I was up at the regional equip now, the Northern Region equip. And so those of you who were there might recognize this thing that he said. And I just meditated on this and want to expand maybe in our context a little about a seed sown by God. That we are seed sown by God. And Luke Watson said, whenever there's a need, God plants a seed. And it's this beautiful concept. Where, look, if you think about it, there's the people in Egypt. They're slaves. They just need a big army to save them. Are you with me? And who does God send? What big army does he send? Small little baby in a little monkey in the river. This little insignificant, small little seed who grew up in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh's daughter raised him. He couldn't be more away from what the people were expecting. God, deliver us. Send someone to save us from the strongest nation in the world. And God said, yes, yes, I heard your prayer. I've got to give you this little seed, this little baby. Just look after him. Oh no, let Pharaoh, let the enemy look after him. Let Pharaoh raise him. And then we know the story. Moses ran away and he went into the desert and he came back, but he was this little seed. And often we read in the Old Testament and through the Bible that God sees there's a need. God sees his people are in trouble. They cry out to God. And then he doesn't just deliver them because he can. And he does. There is instances where an angel came and he wiped out the whole army. If you go and read that in Kings. But normally God wants to partner with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to use us. He sees the need and he's sowing. You and I, he wants to sow us into that situation. So can I expand on that a little bit tonight? And maybe just share of us thinking of ourselves as a small little seed. But when you're planted by God, who knows what will grow out of you? If we take little Josh Jen PM and you plant it, I mean, look at you guys. I shared with them, I came here looking at the venue with Arya and Paul, and here you are nearly full already. I mean, that's just what God does. He takes a little seed, insignificant in the world's eyes, and he plants the seed. And I think the scripture is based on Matthew 13, where Jesus was telling them about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. So this little seed, insignificant. But if God plants it, that's how the kingdom works. Who knows to what we will branch out? Who knows all the unbelievers that will come and take shelter in Josh Jen PM's shade because of little seeds that were willing to say, plant me, Lord. Plant us. So tonight, I want to stop for a moment with Gideon, one of the judges. We read about his story in Judges chapter 6, and I mean, there were a couple of judges. Every time you can take any of the judges, they were seed sown for the situation. And often we think that, I don't know what I was sown for, Lord, because we are overwhelmed by society, we are overwhelmed by culture, we are overwhelmed by what we woke up to after 2020. But God planted me 3 years before most of you. so I guess I should have some answers for where we are now, and I don't. But God planted us to be the generation, to pioneer something for the next generation. And you guys are raised to be that generation. When you guys reach my age, you will be ready. You will be the trees that will give shelter to the little plants that will be planted, the little seeds that will be sown. And you will, in excitement, tell them the stories of how you grew into this tree and how people came to know the Lord, and they became these big evangelists, and they became these big teachers, and they became churches, and you became part of it. And you are still part of it. So Judges chapter 6, I do believe, I'm not used to giving scriptures to the people, so you can, we're in the NIV, so let me read from my tablet. The angel of the Lord came and he sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" You guys are from the Free State. We do millets here. We don't do wheat like in the Western Cape. But you don't thresh out wheat in a wine press. A wine press is an enclosed area. You need wind to blow through. So here Gideon is hiding so that they don't see him threshing out the wheat. But God looks at him and he said, "I know you. I have planted you, mighty warrior." Gideon's like, "What? Mighty warrior. I'm even too terrified to thresh out wheat out there. I'm sitting here in a wine press. I'm not a mighty warrior. My tribe is the smallest." And he's having this conversation with God. And if God is having a conversation with us and he's suggesting things, it's normally not because he doesn't know the answer to what he's talking about. He just want to get me to the end of my rope where I go like, "Okay, God, you made me. You should know. You should know better." God had Gideon in mind as the people cried out. God made Gideon for a time such as this. But not only Gideon, and that's what I want to point out tonight. We often look at this one guy that will come and he will save us, but there's more to the story. There's a bigger story. There were more men. There were guys, and Gideon said, "Yes, Lord." It's actually so many things in this passage of scripture Gideon had to deal with, but I wanna get to the seed tonight, just that part, and Gideon in chapter 7 a little bit later went to engage the Midianites. So he took this big army, he mustered up this big army. Now he's going to fight against a bigger army. So they just for the record, Gideon and his men were outnumbered, hands down. This is not a fair fight. They were outnumbered. But then the Lord said to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel will boast against me." Yo. Lord, we're outnumbered already. The culture is overwhelming us already. And he's saying to Gideon, no, you'll boast against me. Your army was big, and then it shrank back to 10,000 after this conversation. God is still saying, "Guess what, Gideon? 10,000. You're still too many. Too many guys here." Let's read verse 5. "So Gideon took the men that were left, the 10,000, down to the water. There the Lord told him, 'Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink.' 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, and the rest got down on their knees to drink." Okay, thank you, Lord. You just stripped my army to 10,000, and now you took 9,700 of them, and you take them back home, and I'm stuck with 300. But just tonight, to get this picture, God said there will be guys who will like come to the water, because they now, they didn't have rattles like the guys in Tempe. Rattles and sawmill trucks. They just had their feet. So they were walking to the battle. So now you, I guess it's a desert. It's Israel. So it's hot. So you're walking, you're thirsty, you're hungry. And now Gideon says, okay, guys, we're just going down to the stream. We're just going to get a drink. And then we're going to face the Midianites. So 9,700 of the guys get to the water. They just throw down everything. And they just start drinking. Which is what most of us would probably do. But get the 300. Their posture was different. We are here for battle. So they just went down on one knee and said, okay, while we are here, we're still armed. We're still ready. God is still sending us for a task. So I'm just going to drink a little bit while I'm ready. You get the posture. Not who's the army, not who's signing up, not who's like filling the chairs tonight. Who's got a posture? God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to be a seed sown by you. I don't want to be this guy with this plan, with this army. I'm so fired up for this battle, Lord. Just send me, Lord. And I'm not knocking your passion tonight. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be passionate. I'm just saying that we should have that posture. God, I'm ready to be planted by you. I'm ready to be sown. I know you are going to meet this need. I'm not going to meet this need. So God is stripping them down to 300. And if you can see this picture, the majority just went for it. Here we are. There's water. We'll think about the battle later. That's not a soldier. And yet, we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And often we just throw everything away and we're like, yo, I have arrived. I've delivered this demon. He's now gone. And yes, see, we have arrived. But there's so many still captive. There's so many who doesn't even know that there's a Jesus. There's so many people on campus tonight doing whatever. They're not here. They're not even in one of the other churches in town. And I think God is saying to us tonight, I want a different posture. I want a different posture. Because I don't care about the odds against you. I don't care about the enemy's army. God was never into how many guys are coming against you. God was never into how big is the army and how big are their guns and how big are the king and how many things they have. God is into the posture of his people. Are you postured correctly? Are you in a posture where I can actually use you? Can I do the miracle? Can I defeat with 300 guys that are postured towards God? A mighty army. They couldn't even count the camels. They're probably exaggerating a little bit, but they said it was like the sand on the seashore. So that's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. But the guy was writing like one, two, there's just too many camels. Let alone the foot soldiers and the rest of the soldiers. We're just going to say they were like many. But I believe that God can use every human being. God could use the whole army. He could use that whole army and defeat it. It would still have been a miracle. Unless God wanted to teach us something. Unless God wanted to say, yes, I can do that. But you know what? My eyes are searching for those postured towards me. Postured in obedience. Postured in, yes, Lord, I'm ready for this. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm ready for you to come and do something through me. And I realized that God is after the heart of a man, heart of a woman. And can God find a heart posture tonight towards him in the right way? God takes the one whose whole heart and whole being is postured in readiness to hear, surrender to obey God, sold out for God. And then God puts these people that are sold out, that are postured ready. He puts us in an impossible situation. And he says, I want my light to break through. You, broken vessels, insignificant little seeds, I want my light to shine. And you can go and read how they actually won the battle. I'm not going to read that tonight. But they actually took jars of clay, and inside they had these light fackles and these light torches. And then one instance they started shouting and they broke that. And then the light, it was looking as if the Israelites were attacking from everywhere, but they were just 300 guys. Are we postured in a way, it's not about me. Lord, it's about you. I'm just a willing little seed who wants to be placed in the ground by you. And let Jesus shine through me. Let Jesus grow from this life. I want to take you to another story in the Bible where the whole of humanity was sold out to sin. We know that from Genesis, and we know that not even the judges could save us. Not even King David could save us. We needed someone. We desperately needed someone. We needed the Son of God to come. And God sees a young girl. I must be careful, because you are a lot of young girls tonight, and I don't want to point to someone who's engaged, and then you take it as a prophecy, and then Paul phones me and says he's got a problem. But he takes a young girl, engaged to a man, not married yet, and he sends his angel, and he tells the young girl in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. He tells her, the Holy Spirit is going to come over you, and you are going to give birth to the Son of God. And Mary's replies, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. We've all heard that at Christmas, and we celebrate it, but just for a moment, put yourself in her position. You're engaged in a society where if you were pregnant before the marriage, you had a problem. They could kill you for that. They literally killed the girl. So Mary was telling the story. It was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we kind of heard that one before. And if you take that into the life of Jesus, all his life, he was this child that was born out of wedlock. We think Jesus was just this perfect man, but he was persecuted from the beginning. You guys know kids. I have kids. They are ruthless. They probably mean it that way. They will just joke you with terrifying stuff. How it would have hurt Jesus if they play with him and like, yeah, he's the son of whoever. And he grew up with that. But Mary in this moment say, you know, God plant me in this society where what you want to do, God, is going to kill me. What you ask of me is to die. Literally die. But here I am, God. I'm your servant. If that's what it takes, plant me. You see the same posture. And the famous words of Isaiah 6 verse 8, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And Mary said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And Luke just took out the "send me" and he said, "Here I am, Lord. Plant me. Plant me tonight. Take me as a seed and plant me. In this situation where the odds are against me, where everything will be going like, yeah, Mary, we don't believe you." It took another angel to appear to Joseph to say, "Hey, Joseph, marry this girl." So he put himself in the same situation. So actually both of them were in the situation where, God, you are planting us to be mocked and ridiculed, frowned upon. You want us to raise the Son of God? They actually lost him once for 3 days. Makes me feel better when I... sometimes don't have my eyes on my kids all the time. We all want change in our situations. We all want change in our nation. We all want change in our city. We want change in our dorm or in our residence. But are we willing to be planted by God? Josh, Jen, PM, as a church, all of you, seeds. I see your seeds tonight with the potential to be planted, to grow out like Matthew, where Jesus said, this is the kingdom. This is the principle of the kingdom. Not a phony, but if I plant my kingdom in you, and if I plant you, my kingdom will grow. And it will branch out, and it will be this big tree, small and insignificant. Little baby Moses, young girl Mary, student, all of you tonight, even me, are you willing to be planted? I grew up in the Eastern Cape. I know nothing about the Free State. I don't know Bloemfontein. I drove around here for the first couple of months with a GPS. I know it's hilarious, but Graaf Reinet doesn't even have a traffic light. So I had to use something to get me where I wanted to be. But can we say, God, I want to be a tree with fruit good to eat, where there's fruit in my life, where it's not just this, I want to disciple people. And you can do that. And people might listen to you. But if there's fruit in your life, they will listen to you. I have a very good friend who always, he quotes his one grandfather, if you tell me who you are tonight, I've got to take your word for it. But if you show me, I believe you immediately. And it's this principle of let's bear fruit, but let's allow God to plant us. When God hears a cry going out in South Africa, He doesn't call an election. When God hears a cry going out and the church is in shambles, He doesn't call ministers to meet and a lot of pastors to get together. No, no, no. When God hears a cry, ever since Jesus rose from the grave, Jesus is looking, where can I place my Holy Spirit in someone who's willing to accept my Son? And I want to start there. I want to place my Spirit inside of you. And then I want to work through you. I want to go and I want to grow you into the image of my Son. And this is more powerful than any election or any program or anything. Surrendered life to God. Surrender to the point of God, here I am, plant me. Do you know what happens to a seed when it's planted? It dies. Are you still happy to be planted? I lost half the crowd. No, just kidding. Every time in the New Testament, when there was a need, what happened? God planted a church. There was a need in Ephesus. There was a need in Thessalonica. There was a need. The guys there didn't even know that there was a need for a church. The guys in Corinth thought they've got it all. They've got it figured out. Paul had to write to them twice to tell them you don't have it figured out. And now you've got the Holy Spirit. And now you're not even testing the Spirit. So, but there was a church. The need was a broken society. The need was Philippi. You guys are lost. But I've planted a church and I'm sending Timothy back to you guys to establish some elders. And I want Titus to go to you guys up there in, I don't remember now, Peter sal net die skrif quote, but there was this church planted by Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, Paul. Every time there was a need, God said, I'm going to plant a seed. And that seed is going to be us, a new church, which will branch out, which will grow, which will change the society where I planted it. Paul described it in Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The way God chooses to change the world today is Christ in you, each one of you sitting here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not the solution I bring, not the things our church think out, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. The invitation is to all of us. God is planting us as a church in the heart of the Free State. You and us. This goes for the stand as well. Are we willing to be planted? So I'm not preaching. I'm preaching to myself tonight, first and foremost. Am I willing to surrender, to be planted? John 12:24, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Am I willing to allow God to plant me? God, take this life. It's insignificant. What I've achieved is, I don't know. But if you take me and you place your spirit in me and you plant me, I know you can grow something of Jesus in me. And this is me growing out, walking out my salvation in fear and trembling, allowing the Lord to equip me, allowing the Lord to go out. This ties in with what I heard you guys said Paul was sharing on. Not Paul, Paul. Is there a difference? Paul is not an apostle. Paul was an apostle. That's probably the difference. He's not an apostle yet. That's a Freistaatse apostle. But it's this evangelism, this going out to invite the lost. But it should happen. It should happen in our churches. It should be happening that we branch out into the communities. We were not planted for us. We were planted for the lost. We are here so that the shade of Jesus Christ in us will draw people to be planted in this church. But I want to leave us tonight with this posture of us as a church surrendering and saying, Lord, plant us, please. Plant us. And you guys are going to go into other parts of this country. So allow the Lord to deposit something tonight in your time here in Bloemfontein. Deposit something that as the Lord just sows you from here into the nations even, you are ready. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to be planted by you. I want to equip myself like you guys shared testimonies of going to conferences and I'm looking forward to see you guys in Pretoria with us, going there saying, just equip us, Lord, so that as soon as you spread us, that I'm so ready for this. And when you get my age, then you realize, I was so not ready for this. But do we posture ourselves in a place where I am postured? God, please, come and do what only you can do. God is looking for a seed ready to fall to the ground in a culture filled with steroids, in a social media crazy, no morality, no God, just me, I and myself. In this society, God is looking for men and women to rise up and say, Lord, plant me to be the change, to make the difference.